are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
This is Beth and Dr. Scott Clitheroe. We are back after 6 weeks. Has it been 6 weeks, Scott?
It's been a while. It's been a long time. I hope I remember how to do this.
It's been a minute. So, yes, like I said, it's been 6 weeks since we've actually had a show. So I am super duper excited to be back on podcast land. And I want to know what you've been up to because we have a surprise for the guest today.
Well, I have been busy, you know, doing the doctor thing. Really, that's been about it. I mean, it's been, not much COVID, but a lot of other, just the usual kind of healthcare issues. So I've been mainly busy with work. I'm the president of the medical society here locally. So that is a fun job. It keeps me busy. And then I'm also a hospice director. And so I do work some there, and then I volunteer at a clinic. So I don't have much downtime, but it keeps me out of trouble.
Yes, I hear you. I know. And it's so funny. I remember when I was a kiddo, my dad used to say, "Time is my biggest enemy." And I'm like, "Dad, I get it. I get it. Like, there's not enough, and I don't have kids, so I cannot imagine having, kids and it just. And I work from home, so it seems like life just really kind of goes by fast, goes by quickly, and the days go by even faster.
It really does. I think in the older you get, I think it just seems to move by even faster, but I can't believe that this year is flying by like it is. And, mm-hmm. You blink and a year's over, it's crazy.
And I was counting in my head, we'll probably have about 6 more shows and then the season will be over.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I think that, I think you just try to enjoy each day, right? That's the most important thing.
Oh, absolutely. And you do such a good job with that. And always such a great attitude. So I just told the audience, I just told our listeners, you guys are in a treat for today. We don't have a guest. So Scott and I were talking, we're like, hey, listen, we've never done a show. I'm like, let's talk about Dr. Clitheroe. Let's get to know him. Let's pick his brain. Let's see what makes him tick, all that good stuff. So I'm just going to dive in and let our audience know a little bit more about you. Is that going to be okay with you?
That's fine. But I also think that, yes, the answer is yes. But I also think that, right, I'm going to do the same to you in the coming days or weeks.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay, absolutely. I said we have 6 more shows for the season. So maybe we can squeeze one of those in. But I know you really well. I've known you forever and a day. So can you tell our audience, at what point in your life did you know that you wanted to be a doctor? When was
that
moment?
Not until I was in college. I had an inkling. And so I was going down the pre-med kind of track as a freshman, but I was kind of keeping my options open. And I worked at a law firm, but I was a kind of an orderly type. I volunteered and then actually worked in a hospital here locally when I was in college and just was hooked. I mean, I got hooked by the excitement of the hospital and how cool the doctors and nurses were and the things they were seeing and just the sense that they were doing some good and serving people. And so I think that was the final straw. My pediatrician growing up, who was a good friend of my dad's, he was also somewhat of a hero to me. So I think he kind of got me in that direction, but I think the deal was sealed by my time volunteering and then working in the hospital while I was in college. And that kind of cemented it. And I go, okay, I know I want to do this.
Okay. So you weren't like an 8-year-old being like, I'm going to be a doctor.
No.
I'm going to be. Okay.
No.
So what, okay. As a kid, did you want to be like a fireman or policeman? Like all those little boys want to do.
Well, I think like a lot of kids, I thought I wanted to play professional sports, maybe baseball or football, but that reality quickly, came into full view that wasn't going to happen. And again, I you know, I was kind of active in high school and a lot of things, drama and key club. And so I thought, you know, again, I thought about law school and maybe not really politics. I never thought about that, but I was in the key club and was involved in a thing called Boy State, which I think most states have this. The Kiwanis Club usually sponsors it, and where young people get to go usually to the state capital of that state and, you know, kind of pretend they're in government, and they, you know, kind of talk about how to get laws passed and, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of pretend govern. And I found that very interesting. But so I think I was kind of interested in that. But I think in always the back of my mind, I was always interested in biology and science, and was kind of blown away by those documentaries that we used to watch as kids, you know, the Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom and Jacques Cousteau and, you know, Carl Sagan and things like that. Just really blown away by nature and science.
You know, I love nature, but when it came to biology, even though I had to take a lot of biology in college and chemistry, oh my gosh, that was not my, I struggled with that. I was more of the, like, you know, I like health and, but I really think that people, you know, you learn differently. I mean, I know there's that book called The Seven Intelligences by Stephen Covey, which mm-hmm. I've read 100 million times. And I just don't learn that way. It's really hard for me to grasp kind of math. And to me, it's just not fun.
You know, I agree. And I think that I had teachers along the way, either high school, I can think of a few, and definitely college and medical school, who really were just able to explain things, teach things, kind of persevere with me to get me to understand it. Also, you know, friends, classmates, one in particular that jumps out to me was he's still a friend, and he really helped me with physics. That I was just not getting physics, and it was considered one of the weed out classes in undergraduate in college. It was a pre-med requirement, and I just was having a hard time with some of the physics. And my professor was very helpful, but just one of my friends, we were studying one night and he explained things in the way he thought about it. And it really just clicked in my brain. So I'll say one more thing too. I think that one thing I've noticed on YouTube and other social media avenues is that nowadays folks have a lot of different other ways to learn. Like, I've been blown away by some of the graphics and animation I've seen to explain the way a virus infects a cell, or the way DNA replicates mm-hmm. and is transcribed into proteins. I mean, there's some great, I would highly recommend anybody who's interested in that just to go to YouTube. And there's just some incredible animations that really, I said to myself, I wish I'd had this when I was in med school or in college learning genetics, because it really makes it easier to understand. It's still very complex, but I think nowadays, I think people can understand science better because of some of the different types of techniques used for instruction.
Now, dude, that's a good question. So you have all this information about, you know, cells and food now. Let's just talk general wellness, which is, you know, what you and I preach a lot. Mm-hmm. But do you think there's ways for people out there to biohack their health from genetics?
I've learned a lot about epigenetics and the way, you know, that we can't do anything about the genes we were given, or, you know, the DNA that we received from our ancestors, but, you know, the way that they're transcribed, I think there's a lot we can do. And so again, that becomes an issue with sleep and stress reduction. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it just, you know, again, the way that sleep, really good, healthy sleep, can improve your immune system and the way your brain works, your cognition, just blows me away. And there's just so much more and more we learn about it. And then of course, nutrition, which is right up your alley too. But I don't know if it's a hack. I feel like stress, you know, I think I probably said this before on the show that, you know, we learned in med school, there's a lot more, this is an old Russian proverb, supposedly, I haven't fact checked it, but one of our professors said there's a lot more old drunks than old doctors. Now, they weren't prescribing alcohol, but the point was just that stress, you know, the stress of being a physician can weigh on you. So it's not just physicians, right? Obviously there's a lot of stress in the world for anybody, much less physicians. So I really think stress, if I had to say one biohack, it would be at all points in your day, you should be thinking about ways to reduce stress, reduce worry, work out that anxiety, work out that fear, and things like that.
And we can talk about that a little bit more here in a minute, but I want to actually share something with you. I don't know if I have, but I actually have a colleague in Canada that I'm not a good sleeper. I love to sleep and I get, so my sleeping pattern is I go to sleep pretty early, but then, and I sleep pretty hard, but then I kind of wake up and it's hard to go back to sleep and I'll take melatonin. I've kind of done all that. But she sent me a download of tunes that you're supposed to listen to. And she said, your dreams will be really vivid, you're going to get better sleep. So I can't say I listened, and it's really strange sounding. It's almost like, and the first time I heard it, I was like, okay, come on, girl, this is going to keep me up, because the sounds were so strange. But I can tell you, I have had two extremely vivid dreams since listening to that. So I need to be more consistent with that because sleep is so important. It's so important. Yeah.
Wow. Is this something you get on Spotify or, how do you?
No, what she does, she almost does like a little interview with you, and she's like, okay, what are your kind of like your health concerns? What are you, do you have that monkey mind that you can't relax and go to sleep? What's kind of the, so she does ask all these questions almost like an interview, and then I'll have to see if we can get her on our show, but it's really interesting. So she actually does this just for you. It's a just tunes. It's called
Interesting.
frequencies that's supposed to help you sleep. And so I've been playing around with that for a couple of weeks now.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, again, I think that obviously sounds affect a certain part of your brain, and that part of your brain may connect to the sleep centers and to the obviously the dreaming. So that's interesting. I think that the whole idea of stage one through four sleep and REM sleep and deep sleep and shallow sleep, they all have certain benefits. And so maybe this helps get you into a certain rhythm,
And that's so funny you mentioned the music, because I'm not a hard rock kind of, that's not my favorite genre of music. So when I hear that, like that heavy metal, and oh my gosh, it almost makes me, gives me anxiety and almost makes me feel like an angry person. So I don't like that kind of heavy metal, hard rock, and I don't like that kind of music.
What about when you're, when you're running or wanting to kind of get, energized for a workout or for something that you need that energy? What, a lot of people like heavy metal. I've been in weight rooms and workout places where, the music is blaring with, Metallica and things like that. So what kind of music do you listen to kind of energize yourself?
I like tech music and dance music. I like kind of that whole crossover from, country and rock and upbeat music for sure. I even like some of the classical music that has kind of a mashup. I like that. Yeah.
Well, I like all kinds of music. I mean, when I have my music thing on shuffle, it's pretty eclectic music. I think it's just my kids have really influenced me. I definitely like the music I grew up with in the 80s, and I have a lot of classic rock I like. Even though I was younger, I still like it. Pink Floyd, Genesis, all that stuff. But I do like the 80s because that was kind of my, young adulthood. And then, but man, there's so much good music now that my kids turn me on to, and they're kind of have, they all three have different kinds of tastes. So it's kind of nice to get that because there's just so much music out there. There really is so many different types. So I think it's good,
Absolutely.
healthy. And I think, music is definitely one of my passions. I mean, I
Oh, me
don't play an
too.
instrument, but I just love music and, for different moods and different types.
And that's funny you say that. One of the first things I do when I wake up in the morning is I turn on my Spotify and I just listen to music. I have it in the background, just kind of playing all day long. And I would rather listen to music than watch TV. So yeah. But okay, let's get back to you. So as a physician, what's the one thing that really surprised you? Like you go in, you're green, your first day as, you are a doctor, you're whether, I don't know if it was emergency room or hospitalist, I don't know what, back then what it looked like, but what's the one thing that really kind of surprised you your first year as a physician that you weren't expecting?
Boy, that's a good question. I think that how important the history is, that I went into it, I guess, raised on MASH and maybe other shows or just my naivete. I thought that the physical exam and all the data was important, and it clearly is. But really, the history, the whole idea that the patient will tell you what's wrong with them if you just listen, if you just give them enough time. And I learned that, you know, some, my professors obviously helped me, but you know, you have to learn it by just doing it. So I think that's one of my big surprises, was just how important the history is. And I would just say, expand on that further, that I think that I tell young physicians, and frankly myself and physician my age, that I don't think we as physicians have much to worry about in the short term as far as artificial intelligence making us obsolete, because there's no doubt that an artificial intelligence, you know, program like Watson or something can come up with a differential diagnosis faster and probably better than me, even after all these years. But I don't think artificial intelligence can still extract a history from a screaming patient who's got a bad back, or, you know, a patient who's having a panic attack, or a patient who's partially demented, or a patient who's having other issues. I mean, there's the art of medicine, you know, and it takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of skill, and it takes a lot of patience. And of course, our healthcare system in this country is not set up for it, but I don't think that's going to be, that's not going to be replicated for a while. And then I think the physical exam too. I mean, you know, we have all these scans and all these things, but they're expensive and time consuming and have risk. And so still putting your hands on a patient and examining them and listening to them, it really is a lot about the whole relationship between you and the patient. But also I think it's still invaluable. And that's why telemedicine, it's okay. And it can help a lot, but you still have to see the patient and examine them in the same room. Mm-hmm. I think. So and that may have been a long-winded answer, but I think the history.
No, that's great. And that's such a beautiful answer. And I know I can tell our audience that, you know, there's been times when I'm like, okay, Scott, like I had, I didn't know if I had a sty. I didn't know if I had a problem with my eye. And you did a telemedicine visit with me and you're like, oh, that's a clogged gland. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to take a couple weeks to heal. And, you know, you gave me great advice and it went away. But I mean, so telemedicine is beautiful. You can, you know, make an appointment, see a doctor, you may have to wait a while. And by the time you get in, it might be, you know, so I love that aspect of, but I loved your answer. I mean, yeah. Nothing can, that human touch, you can't replicate that.
Yeah. And again, I think, you know, and again, I'm guilty of it too, but we're just so busy and there's so many demands on our time with documentation and computer and,
oh, yeah,
and we're getting paid less money every year. Nobody's going to hold a bake sale for us, but especially primary care physicians are having a hard time. They're struggling. There's a lot of primary care doctors leaving the profession, and it's not good, but you know, you got to spend that time, you know, but when you're trying to see 30 patients a day, it's very tough to do it. It's very tough to do it.
Well, I can tell you, I honestly, and I'm not just saying that because you're a friend and we're doing this together, but I can honestly say you're amazing at your job. I can't imagine you doing anything else. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. But kind of piggybacking on that, you know, listening, is that kind of, if you could, you know, go back to thinking the legacy you wanted to leave, because I mean, we all have like legacies, even though I don't have kids. I mean, I want to leave the wellness world, you know, healthier people in the world. That's what I was born to do. And I know that. But what type of legacy are you building, or do you want to leave the medical field when you decide to retire?
Wow, these are such good questions. I service, you know, we are servants. We are medical servants. I mean, you know, we're paid pretty well and that's great, but it is very satisfying. I mean, you know, what Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody, and mm-hmm. why not the sick and infirmed, you know? And I mean, I can honestly say that me and most of my colleagues, we don't, when the door closes, we don't think about what insurance they have or who they are. You know, I mean, maybe that kind of creeps in sometimes, but it's really just about that patient and that patient's families and what their needs are. So it is a great privilege. So I think service, I think you got to, you know, I love it, man. I've got the best job in the world because I get paid to do really good things. I mean, it's mm-hmm. you know, it makes me feel good. That's why we talked about before, is that when you're kind of feeling down and anxious about things, which is certainly part of the human condition, I think one of the biggest treatments is just get outside of your body and go help somebody who's less fortunate. I mean, because there's always somebody who's got it worse off than you do. And so every day, I mean, no matter what is weighing on me, what things are bothering me personally and whatever, I walk into a building where people are having their worst day, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
I mean, and I get to be there. It is a great privilege. They talk about the the privilege of practicing medicine in a hospital. It is absolutely the case, privilege. And I just recently spoke to the new residents here in Austin that are starting their, they just became physicians and now they're starting off on their residency season, whether it's, you know, OB-GYN or pediatrics or internal medicine or surgery. And I go, it is a privilege. It's going to be one of the, it is going to be the hardest thing you've ever done, but it's going to be the greatest thing you've ever done. It is. So, I mentioned the word service to them. You're in service to your community and to your patients, you know?
Yeah. It's like, you know, you're learning how to serve others, you know, while you're creatively weaving the golden rule into your life and much more. And I mm-hmm. loved that answer. And do you find that, like in your personal life, your health, your wellness, and we're going to talk about, it's going to be a little more fun and lighthearted right now, mm-hmm. but what are some obstacles or pitfalls or struggles that you face as a physician to be healthy, and how do you deal with them?
Sleep. I mean, sleep. I'm not an expert here, but I think I'm wired to be a night owl. I don't know. No matter how tired I am, at 10 o'clock, I seem to have this second wind, and it's not caffeine induced. I don't try to drink any caffeine afternoon, but I just get this second wind. And then it's hard for me to kind of wind down before midnight. And I've been better about it as I get older, but you know, especially when kids were younger. And so you come home and you want to spend time with them, and then they go to bed, and sometimes it's hard to get them to go to bed. And then you got things to do, blah, blah, blah. So then the alarm has to go off in the morning. And you know, you and I have talked about this before, maybe on the show, but you know, I feel like if I don't work out exercise wise, you know, in the morning, it's going to be less likely to happen just because of the day's events. Mm-hmm. But there are many years where even if I went to bed at midnight, I was still getting up at 5:30 to run. And I just finally found that to be unsustainable. And I found that, yeah, even if I skip a day of workout, that extra hour and a half of sleep or whatever
makes a world of difference, doesn't it?
I would say sleep and then diet. You know, I mean, my partners and I have joked about this, that sometimes when you're real busy taking call or what have you, and I'm sure other people do this too, but it's like, oh, I deserve this drive-through, or I deserve this popsicle, or, you know, it's this mind game you play where I've had a crappy day and I'm going to enjoy this blank, you know? And so I think sometimes I have pity parties dietary wise and go, I'm sure that's not uncommon, but I would say those are two barriers for me.
We're going to talk about that here in a second, but before I go into some things that, because I'm not a good sleeper either. I just talked about that, but what about, have you ever tried CBD or any herbs or anything like that to help you sleep?
Never. I haven't, you know, I can share this. I had COVID before the vaccine in summer of 2020, and I was moderately ill. I didn't go to the hospital, thank goodness. And one thing, I've heard this from other patients, but COVID really robbed me of sleep. I mean, I guess I'm just not used to laying down all day, but I didn't feel well. And I kind of maybe catnap here and there, but then it become 10 o'clock and I'm like, I really need to sleep. And I just couldn't fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And so I remember you had suggested, and also my physician, but you really stressed melatonin. I'd never taken it before. And it just didn't seem to help. I escalated the dose and it didn't seem to help. And now sometimes I will take a Benadryl, but mainly only when I have allergy symptoms. But otherwise, no, I'm kind of fortunate that I don't know when my body tells me it's time to go to sleep, I will fall asleep pretty quickly, but just sometimes it's just, so I guess I don't, maybe this is something that other people do, but I won't make myself get in bed and go to sleep if I don't feel tired. My brain's thinking about this email I have to answer, or I've got to read about this because a patient has it or whatever, you know, I'll do that before I get in bed. And so I'm not anti CBD or anything like that, but I've never taken it, you know, for sleep or anything. Probably I did, you know, based on your recommendations, tried some non-sweet cherry juice. I forget what that conversation was about, but that it didn't taste very good, but it did help actually. I forgot about that. Yeah, I did that and it did help. And
that actually raises your melatonin naturally. So the thing about melatonin is you kind of want to start at 3 milligrams, because anything more, unless your body needs more. So I always tell people, when you start with melatonin, start with 3 milligrams and see if that helps. And if you're not kind of feeling a little tired, you know, in a couple of hours, I take my melatonin with my dinner. So if I eat at 5:30 or 6:30 or whatever, I'll take it then. By the time I'm ready to go to sleep, it should go into effect, right? Yeah. My problem is I wake up. So I'll take maybe like 1 milligram, you know, so that helps me a little bit, but anything more than 3 milligrams, again, unless your body needs it, it's not a pure science. So you have to play around with it, but it can act as an antioxidant, and an antioxidant will keep you awake. So that's a little tidbit of information.
Yeah, for sure. Wasn't there something out there also about, getting natural sunlight early in the day actually improves your sleep that night? Or
yes.
I don't know if you and I talked about that or I read that somewhere.
Yeah, because you get that vitamin D. And again, it just kind of tells your body that it's ready to go to sleep when it's at nighttime. And yeah, so that's, and it helps with, you know, depressive states too. So that can help a lot of help with sleep and moods and all that. Mm-hmm. But two other things, I mean, obviously exercise and eating healthy. Those are huge. We talked about that, but two things that people can do to help with sleep: walking barefoot in the grass.
Oh, yes. We talked about that. Grounding.
Yes. Earthing, grounding, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Walking barefoot. And I would love to get an expert to talk about that sometime. And the other thing, and you know this, I bought a horse trough about 2 months ago to do ice baths at home.
Yes, I have heard about this. I have not found the guts to do that.
So this morning, I actually did a cold bath. I didn't, because I just wanted to get in for 2 minutes, and it was cold. Trust me, it was not comfortable. I didn't put any ice in it because I ran out of ice because I did an ice bath yesterday, but I'm kind of committed to this too. I have a 30-day challenge. I'm going to try and do a cold bath every single day.
Well, what are you noticing improvement wise?
You can't ask me that because it's only been a few days. I bought it a couple months ago, but I haven't been consistent. So
ask what is it? What are the proponents? Like that guy, there's a guy kind of famous on the internet. He does
Wim Hof.
Wim Hof. What exactly? It's got to be anti-inflammatory.
Anti-inflammatory. Now the history with Wim Hof is his wife had severe depression and committed suicide. So So he just did a lot of research on the parasympathetic nerve. With breathing pattern and with the ice baths, how they work together. And again, I'm just learning, even though we did have a guest a few months ago this season talk about ice baths, I'm just really kind of, even though I've participated in them off and on for years, I'm just now really getting into it. So I would love to give my 30-day, little evaluation.
Yeah. Maybe we'll follow up in a little while before the end of the season. Yeah, for sure. We'll hear more about that. But I have a cousin who does it and he swears by it. And he's got one of those. Yeah. I mean, we had a guest on that has one of those self-contained ice baths, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. That, again, I think it's great. Like I said in that show, my older patients who may have some peripheral artery disease, be careful with, doing it too long, but I don't think that's probably a very significant concern for most folks.
And if I remember correctly, she said, just dunk your head at that point in the cold water
as opposed to.
I remember her saying that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it. And I don't have one of the machines. I bought a horse trough. It was a lot cheaper than the machine, but yeah, I went to the local Home Depot and bought one a few months ago.
So why don't you just use your bath again? Is it because
it gets pretty messy?
It gets messy. Okay. Yeah. How do you get the water into the trough? You just have like a hose
hose. Uh-huh. Okay, and then getting it out, I'll put some bleach in it, just kind of keep it clean. And then, once every week I'll dump it out and So that's kind of my thing right now. Okay. So back to you. I keep on saying that this is all about you. So what are, like in your spare time, I know you're a runner, I know you're a swimmer, but what are like five things that like bring you joy? What are five things in your life, whether it be recreation or family, what are five things that bring Dr. Clitheroe joy?
My family, for sure. Mm-hmm. Both immediate and extended. I'm very blessed with a wonderful family. And I would say that's first. Of course, again, I'm very lucky that what I do for a living brings me joy. I mean, literally every day it's got its stressors and frustrations, but I really love being a doctor and taking care of people. It's just so cool. I learned so much from my patients and also my coworkers, I mean, nurses and housekeeping and everybody, radiology technicians, respiratory therapists. I love it. It's a great environment to work. And again, just a great team effort. And I love that. So that brings me great joy. And Yeah, I exercise definitely. It's really good for my mental health. It allows me to kind of free my mind a little bit and be outside, because I just don't. That's one thing. My least favorite thing about being a doctor is that I have to be inside with fluorescent lights all day. I just, you know, it's so funny too. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but one of the worst things about all these medical shows on TV, besides a lot of the medicine is just not right, is the fact that all the lighting is really kind of cool and indirect, you know, and all this Hollywood type lighting. When is anybody, obviously all of us know what a hospital lighting's like, or an office, which is like this blaring fluorescent lights, you know? So so funny how they like that. What's it called? I'm blanking on the name of the show. That's Grey's Anatomy. It's been on forever. I just laugh at that show, because some of the medicine they get right, but the lighting is not accurate, you know? So anyway, so being outside, and so, I mean, the corollary of that is just, you know, swimming. I'm very grateful that I found swimming about 20 years ago now, maybe, and I'm not a good swimmer, but swimming particularly really is good for my mental health, because I've never felt that great at it. It's a little bit, so I really am able to just free my mind and focus on my stroke. And I love water. I love the way it feels. And, you know, whether it's winter or summer, I'm in there swimming, you know, and not in a cold pool though. So I guess I could combine two things, right? Because I mean, Deep Eddy and Barton Springs here in Austin, they're, you know, low 70s, which probably for people who are listening from up north, and they're like, well, that's no big deal. But, you know, that's pretty cold for us Texans, you know. So that's about as cold as I swim, but I love swimming. And then music. I mean, I'll go and announce it now. Maybe you can hold me to it, but I really wouldn't mind picking up the guitar again. I mean, like way back when I could strum a few chords, and my oldest son's a very good guitarist, but I think that would be good for me. It's for a creative outlet, but I love music, and I really have zero musical knowledge about keys and notes and, you know, tempo, except just what I hear and appreciate. But I think, yeah, music brings me great joy. So I guess that's five. That's pretty good five, huh?
That is good. That is good. That's amazing. But you just got back from vacation.
Yes.
In Colorado with your boys. Is that correct?
Yeah. To my boys and I, they were able to go and went up into the Colorado mountains and hiked and fished and hung out and cooked some nice meals. And it's so cool watching your kids grow up and become young adults and just enjoyed their time, but it was a lot of fun. So yeah, I guess I count that as the number three outside exercise. I love it. The hardest thing I have trouble with is just sitting still when I'm in a spot like that. I want to go explore and stuff, but you know, I guess that's why the beach is good. I mean, I like the mountains better, I think, but I like the beach. And
same here. Yeah.
The beach, you can kind of you're kind of not forced to, but grab your chair, grab your blanket and hang out. So, but yes, we were in Colorado recently and just beautiful, you know, the weather was gorgeous and saw a lot of wildlife and birds and furry animals. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, we're glad to have you back. And okay, so I'm going to preface this, my next question, by telling you kind of what are five words that kind of like describe you, and they're going to be different for you than they are for me. So like when I think of Dr. Clitheroe, I think of leader, man of God, physician, speaker. Just what are five words that describe you?
Wow. I would say, I don't know, describe me, I guess. I mean, I guess I am servant, like I said. I feel like I'm naturally inclined to serve. And, you know, I wouldn't say leader. I appreciate that. But I don't know if I've got the best leadership qualities. But
you do.
Yeah, but I appreciate that. But I'm going to leave that to maybe the end or something else. But I mean, describe me. Learner. I love learning. Again, another thing I love about healthcare is you never stop learning. So servant, learner, spiritual seeker. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, you know, we've talked about it before offline, but, you know, I was raised as a Christian and I believe that there's a higher power. I have a lot of questions still, but yet I do know that love is the answer. And so maybe I can put love in there too. I think that maybe the secret sauce to this universe is love. Whether it's whatever it is, whether it's God itself or herself or his self, but I think love. Family, of course, but that kind of goes in with love and I don't know, I guess kindness. I really think that there's not enough kindness in the world. And, you know, I try to smile and say hi to people I pass in the hallway and, you know, kind of read the room if they're obviously not, you know, under stress. There's a lot of people in the hospital that are having a bad day, like I mentioned, but I try to, you know, a smile, it goes a long way. And it's kind of like paying it forward. So I feel like if I'm nice to somebody, maybe they're going to be more likely to be nice to somebody down the road. And, you know, it
I
kind of becomes like a
agree.
domino effect. So I think kindness, and I think
Well,
the
I want to
corollary to that,
challenge. Oh, go ahead.
I'm not a very, I'm kind of conflict avoidant, which is
Oh, me
probably
too.
one of my weaknesses. I don't do, that's probably why I don't think I'm the best leader. I try to avoid conflict probably more than I should, you know, and that's not very healthy sometimes, but yeah, those, is that five?
Yes. But you know, I want to first off, I have two things to say. One is I want to challenge our audience and you and myself. So for the next 3 days, do five random acts of kindness,
Okay.
whether it's opening the door for somebody or smiling or doing something, is something bigger, sending flowers to a family member or just whatever. Do five things the next 3 days, just to be nice. I like that.
I'll do it. That sounds
Okay.
like a good goal. I like that.
And the other thing is, you know, I just finished a book called Endure by Ben Greenfield. And honestly, you know, if people really kind of truly desire kind of a more spiritual stamina, spiritual endurance, because you just said, you know, I have lots of questions. And I always say that, like, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna be like, okay, God, I got some questions for you. But, you know, but just having more and joy and meaning and purpose in the life, I really felt like Endure, that book was such, it kind of served as kind of a practical blueprint and guide for me. So just a little shout out for that called Endure. It's a really good book. It was a
Oh,
really good
thank
book.
you for the tip. Yeah, man, we
Yeah.
let me put that in the show notes for people can find it too, because
Yeah,
that's great.
absolutely. He's actually kind of my wellness guru. Whenever I just go, I really reference him a lot in my coaching and a lot of those things. So a big shout out to Ben Greenfield. He's amazing. So if you could put a smile on, like, just for the world, people listening to this podcast right now, how would you make somebody smile today?
Oh
What
my
kind of smile
gosh.
would you?
Well, it's going to be okay. I mean, I think that no matter what's going on in your life, A, it's going to get better, and you can actualize that if you believe it and see it and visualize it. But also, again, you know, that there's always somebody having a worse day than you, and that not to do that in a way like, ha ha, you know, but just to realize it's not seemingly ever as bad as it could be, you know. And I mean, obviously people have terrible heartache, and we've seen some terrible things recently in COVID and all that. But I think that, you know, I think that if you just realize that it's going to be okay. And I don't know, I don't know, you know, I the older I get, the less I fear death. I mean, I would, I want to hang around, you know, and see people, but I really feel like, you know, I mean, this is not how to put a smile on your face, but just,
Yeah.
you know, what are you afraid of? We talked about that. I ask patients a lot, what are you afraid of? You know, what's your fear, especially when they're having some anxiousness? And it really seems to help. And I know it's helped me too, just to really put some words with those feelings, you know? And so,
Yeah.
you know, so I guess that, and I think laughter, you know, I think that, you know, reading funny stories and listening to comedy and you know, that reading, you know, kind of maybe cartoons or something like that. I mean, it's lightheartedness. This is very heavy world with a lot of heartache, but I think sprinkling in some good news and some fun stuff is a good way to keep it a little bit lighthearted if possible.
Yeah, I love watching. I don't believe it or not, I don't really, I'm not one of these, I hear a joke and I laugh kind of people. Sometimes I'm like, okay, if I was spy, that might be funny. So I'm just not, you know, but this past weekend, I watched The Spy with Melissa McCarthy. I love her. Anything that she plays, I can't see anything because she's had some dramas lately, but she is so funny. I love to, I mean, I just knee slap and laughing so hard. So that's that was a really funny show. And I've seen it before, but it was funny.
My recommendation too, among many, I mean, because some of the things that are on that are funny, like Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I think is brilliant. it's a little bit biting and somewhat mean-spirited at times, and not very optimistic comedy, but it's still funny in its own way. But Modern Family is, you know, and I haven't watched every episode, and I didn't really watch a lot of network TV, but I've watched occasional episodes on one of the streaming services, and that show had its moments of kind of sarcasm, but it had mostly uplifting messages about the importance of friends, family, and love. And I think it's brilliantly written and acted, and funny as all get out. So I think that show is just highly worth your time if you feel like you need something to uplift you. I don't know if you've ever watched it, but it's really
good. I have never seen that show. We've talked about that before. You've mentioned it a few times. Yeah. I've never, ever, ever seen it. But my Modern Family to me is Schitt's Creek. I love Schitt's Creek. I love that show.
Yes, that I agree. That talk about some great teaching moments about the acceptance mm-hmm. of different types of lifestyles. And yes, yeah. I agree. I would kind of link them in the same idea. Great acting, great writing. Very provocative and the way, you know, provoking some thought and introspection, but in a funny way, well acted too. So yeah, that I think if you like Schitt's Creek, I think you like Modern Family.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to close, but before we go to commercial break, I want you to leave parting words to our listeners.
You know, I think try to, you know, live each day to the fullest. You know, James Taylor is one of my favorite singer-songwriters. And, you know, one of his songs, The Secret to Life is Enjoying the Passage of Time. You know, because time is not going to stop for anybody. And you can stress about it, or you can just enjoy each and every day, you know. And I think just trying to live in the moment. I know we talk about it a lot, but like lately, I have been walking my dogs a lot, like every day. Usually pretty early because it's been so hot here lately, or late at night, and you know, leaving my earphones at home and just listening to them pant and sniff and snort and listen to the crickets and to the planes flying overhead and just kind of watching the stars twinkle and the clouds mm-hmm. flow by, and really just yeah. kind of appreciating everything and thinking, you know, how many times have I passed this yard and I've never noticed that tree, or look at the way the grass curves over, you know, just stupid stuff like that. I really feel like if you can kind of live in the moment, I mean, we have to plan for the future and we have to learn from the past, but I really do think that the key is really just here and now. Like right now, it's you and me, we're talking, you know, we're enjoying each other, we're learning from each other, and the folks that are going to listen to this, you know, just whatever you're doing, you know, just appreciate it, you know, appreciate what it takes to get these voices and podcast your ears. I mean, you know, I think there's a lot to be said about just appreciating and enjoying the moment, you know.
I love that, and such great advice, and that, my friend, probably put a smile on someone's face. They needed to hear that today, and I'm a firm believer in that. But you know, and to our audience, sometimes you know, we're here to serve you guys. I mean, Scott's talked about being a servant a couple times today, and that's what we love doing. We try to bring, you know, relevant topics and to you. So if I'm just going to say it again, if there's a topic you would like us to talk about or discuss, you know, leave it in the comment box, and we mm-hmm. will do our best to get an expert, or, you know, or Scott and I can just, you know, talk about it ourselves. So I really encourage people to hit the subscribe button and leave comments and let us know what you'd like to hear. And with that, we will be right back after this commercial break.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. That was probably our least interesting guest we ever had.
Oh my God. I can't believe you said that. I was thinking it was so powerful. I swear to you, I was. I'm like, oh my gosh, people are going to love to hear this. Come on.
Well, I guess also kind of sometimes I think, am I sounding like a broken record? Because the same themes pop in my brain, but I guess it never hurts to go over them. But anyway, well, that was fun. I mean, I'm not a big fan of talking about myself. I'm not sure how I come across, but that's not my idea. But I enjoy this, and I'm looking forward to when I can turn the tables on you.
I bet you are.
Well, I've learned a lot from you, Beth. So, but seriously, no, I think this was fun. I really appreciate you doing it. And I can tell the listeners that I had no idea what the questions were. And so I'm going to probably be driving down the road later today thinking, oh, I should have said this or that. But maybe we in a couple of years, we can do it again and see how the answers
sure,
change.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yeah. I love it.
Well, I guess y'all, we really appreciate y'all listening. And like Beth said earlier, you know, please, you know, rank us, rate us on your site of listening of choice, and give us, you know, comments and suggestions. We really read them and take them to heart. And we just are really grateful for your time and fitting this into your busy day. And just don't forget to check out the other fantastic shows on our network. They're really, really good and just so diverse and bring a lot of different voices to the table, which is so important these days. So, and with that, we'll see you next time.